What if I told you that the entire AI revolution, from data centers in Virginia to research labs in Berlin, depends on a specialty film made by a Japanese food company that holds over 95% of the global market?
It's a startling dependency, Susie, and it highlights how the biggest technology trends often pivot on highly specialized, almost invisible industrial materials. This week, we're seeing that dependency play out not just in AI, but across the entire manufacturing landscape.
Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that shapes your business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're diving deep into the world of advanced materials. It's a sector being hit by a perfect storm of three forces: the relentless demand from AI and EVs, the accelerating push for sustainability, and persistent geopolitical and supply chain pressures.
We'll be looking at how one Japanese firm, Ajinomoto, has become a critical choke point for AI chips. We'll also cover H.B. Fuller's new technology aimed at solving the packaging recycling nightmare, and why new EU regulations could make today's battery labels completely obsolete.
For executives in U.S. and European industries, these aren't just technical shifts. They represent immediate threats and billion-dollar opportunities. Let's get into it.
Okay, Troy, let's start with that staggering statistic from the top of the show. A food company, Ajinomoto, controls 95% of a critical material for AI chips. Unpack that for us.
That's right. The material is called Ajinomoto Buildup Film, or ABF. It's a highly advanced electrical insulating film used in the packaging of high-performance semiconductors, especially the GPUs and AI processors made by companies like NVIDIA and AMD.
So what does it actually do? Why is a film so important?
Think of a modern chip package as a miniature skyscraper with layers of silicon and wiring. ABF is the material used to create the floors and electrical conduits between those layers. Its unique properties, superior electrical insulation, thermal stability, and fine processability are essential for creating the incredibly dense, high-speed connections that AI chips require. Without it, you simply can't build today's top-tier processors.
And this demand is surging. The article from Let's Data Science, published May 27th, links Ajinomoto's profit growth directly to the AI boom. How does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For U.S. and European semiconductor firms like Intel, it highlights a massive supply chain vulnerability. While they design the chips, a single non-Western company controls a material that is absolutely mission-critical. Any disruption to Ajinomoto's production could halt the global AI hardware industry. It puts a fine point on the need for domestic R&D and advanced substrate materials.
What should Western trading companies and distributors be aware of here?
They need to understand that the lead times for anything containing these high-end chips are now intrinsically linked to the availability of ABF. If you're distributing servers, high-end PCs, or industrial automation equipment, you need to be asking your suppliers about their ABF allocation. It's a new bottleneck that most people don't see.
So what's the actionable insight for our listeners?
If you're in the electronics value chain, you must map your dependencies beyond the Tier 1 supplier level. Understand which of your critical components rely on materials like ABF. For executives, this is a strategic imperative. Support and invest in domestic material science R&D to mitigate the risk of these single-source choke points.
Let's shift from electronics to something every consumer touches: packaging. We know there's a huge push for sustainability, but recycling is often a mess. A May 28th announcement from H.B. Fuller seems to tackle this head-on. What have they developed?
H.B. Fuller has launched a new oxygen barrier coating called VertiFresh. Its purpose is to enable fully recyclable, monomaterial packaging for food and consumer goods.
Okay, monomaterial packaging sounds good, but what's the problem it's solving?
Most high-performance flexible packaging today, like for coffee or snacks, is a multi-layer composite. It might have a layer of plastic for structure, a layer of aluminum for an oxygen barrier, and another plastic layer for sealing. These layers are laminated together, which makes them practically impossible to separate and recycle. VertiFresh is a coating that provides that critical oxygen barrier without needing a separate non-recyclable layer like EVOH or ethylene vinyl alcohol copolymer.
So you can make the entire package out of one type of plastic, apply this coating, and suddenly it's easily recyclable?
Exactly. It allows manufacturers to move to a single material structure, which fits neatly into existing recycling streams. This is a huge deal for U.S. and European manufacturers, especially in the food and consumer packaged goods sectors.
they are under intense regulatory pressure, like from the EU, and consumer demand to hit aggressive sustainability targets. This technology is a direct enabler.
What's the angle for trading companies and distributors?
If you're distributing packaged goods, your retail clients are demanding sustainable packaging. You should be proactive, asking your manufacturing partners about their transition plans to monomaterial solutions. Highlighting suppliers who use technologies like VertiFresh can become a competitive advantage. It's also about market timing. Get ahead of the regulations that will eventually mandate this.
And the actionable insight for executives?
Engage your packaging suppliers immediately. Ask for their roadmap to monomaterial solutions and what performance trade-offs, if any, exist. This isn't just a cost-saving or marketing exercise anymore. It's about future-proofing your products against upcoming regulations and maintaining market access, particularly in Europe.
Sticking with materials, let's talk about the electric vehicle market. Avery Dennison announced new adhesive technologies for EV batteries on May 25th, aimed at improving safety and assembly. But a new EU regulation might throw a wrench in the works for adhesives. Troy, what's the story here?
Avery Dennison is developing advanced pressure-sensitive adhesive tapes for EV battery packs. These tapes can simplify cell connections, provide flame retardancy, and absorb vibration. The goal is to make batteries safer, more energy-dense, and faster to assemble, which is a massive opportunity for Western automotive manufacturers trying to scale up EV production.
Faster, safer, better. Sounds great. So where does the EU regulation come in?
An article from Prior Marking Technology, published May 27th, highlights a critical clause in the new EU battery regulation. It mandates that all EV and industrial batteries must have indelible marking that remains legible for the battery's entire lifespan.
Indelible, as in permanent and can't be removed? That doesn't sound like a sticky label.
Precisely. The article argues that self-adhesive labels are unlikely to be compliant. Adhesives degrade over time due to thermal cycling, the constant heating and cooling of the battery pack, and environmental exposure. The bond weakens, and a label can fall off. This directly contradicts the indelible requirement.
So this creates a huge problem for U.S. and European battery manufacturers who want to sell into the massive EU market.
It does. It forces them to look beyond traditional labels, towards direct part marking, like laser etching. This is a threat to adhesive suppliers like Avery Dennison in this specific application, but it's a major opportunity for companies specializing in permanent marking technologies. For a battery manufacturer, it means re-engineering a part of their assembly process.
And for trading companies that might be sourcing EV components or entire battery packs?
They need to add EU battery regulation compliance to their technical due diligence checklist immediately. Sourcing a battery pack that uses a non-compliant adhesive label could mean it's blocked from the European market. Verifying the marking technology is now as critical as verifying the battery's performance specifications.
What's the actionable takeaway?
If you are in the EV supply chain, you need to conduct an audit of your marking and labeling processes in the context of the new EU regulation. Don't assume your current method is compliant. For executives, this is a clear signal to invest in more robust, permanent identification technologies to ensure unfettered access to the European market.
Finally, Troy, let's zoom out to the macroeconomic picture. H.B. Fuller was back in the news on May 26, but this time for a less welcome reason. They're increasing prices. What's driving this?
H.B. Fuller announced price increases across all their adhesive and sealant product lines. They cited a familiar list of culprits: persistent supply constraints in petrochemicals, high energy costs, and pressure on specialty chemical raw materials. They specifically mentioned geopolitical events in the Middle East and ongoing logistics disruptions as key factors.
This feels like a story we've heard before. Is this just the new normal for industrial inputs?
For the foreseeable future, yes. What this announcement does is officially confirm that the cost pressures of the last few years are not easing. For a U.S. or European manufacturer, this means the cost of a fundamental component, the glue that holds their products together, is going up. This will directly impact margins for everyone from automotive and construction to packaging and electronics manufacturers.
So how does a U.S. furniture maker or a German electronics assembler deal with this? They can't just stop using adhesives.
No, they can't. This reinforces the need for robust supply chain strategies. First, it makes a stronger case for dual sourcing key materials to maintain some pricing leverage. Second, it should accelerate the evaluation of alternative technologies. For example, some of the new bio-based adhesives we're seeing, derived from plant oils, might offer more stable long-term pricing compared to volatile petrochemical feedstocks.
That's an interesting angle. What should trading companies and distributors be doing?
They need to communicate these price increases to their customers transparently and immediately. More strategically, they should be positioning themselves as solution providers. This is the time to work with their suppliers, companies like H.B. Fuller, Henkel, or Dimax, to identify alternative formulations or application methods that might reduce adhesive consumption and offset some of the price increase for their customers.
So the actionable insight is about more than just bracing for impact.
Absolutely. The directive for executives is twofold. First, secure your supply and budget for sustained cost inflation in chemical inputs. Second, and more importantly, task your R&D and procurement teams to aggressively test and validate next-generation materials, particularly those with bio-based origins. This isn't just a sustainability play anymore. It's a long-term strategy to de-risk your business from geopolitical and commodity volatility.
All right, Troy, a lot of complex developments this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, map your hidden dependencies. The AI industry's reliance on Ajinomoto's ABF film is a stark reminder that your biggest supply chain risk might be a material you've never heard of two or three tiers down. U.S. and European firms must look deeper.
Second,
the circular economy is no longer a talking point. It's a technology race. H.B. Fuller's VertiFresh coating shows that innovation is happening fast to meet regulatory demands for recyclable packaging. Companies that fail to adapt their products and packaging will face market access issues, especially in Europe.
And the final takeaway?
Prepare for sustained volatility in material costs and regulations. The H.B. Fuller price hike and the new EU battery regulation are two sides of the same coin. The actionable imperative is to build resilience through dual sourcing, exploring bio-based alternatives to escape petrochemical volatility, and designing products that comply with the world's strictest regulations, not just your local ones.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you spending it with us.
Join us again next week for another analysis of the technology developments that matter to your business.
To make sure you don't miss it, subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. Thank you for listening.